Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT. FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk. KKFT.
99.1 FM Talk, 92.3 FM Talk. It's parade day in the greatest capital city in the USA. From Carson City, Nevada. It's Live and Local with John and Jay. Jay is announcing at the parade today. And in his place today, it's John and...
It's a bigger version of Jay.
No, you're not, actually. You're smaller.
But J-E-R, as Jerry.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was going to say, you know, people have said to me many times, we've heard you on the radio, and they wonder what you look like, Jerry Evans. Craig, how would you describe Jerry? Does he look like somebody you know, like a celebrity? To me, he looks like a very fit Kenny Rogers.
Oh, God.
If you can picture it. Yeah. I was going to say an emaciated.
Cut his mic, and I'll take it from here. I've been told when I was younger and had longer, darker hair, I was told that I looked like Charlie Manson by a few people.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I was told when I buzzed my hair, what I had earlier, too, I was told I looked like Harrison Ford. I don't think that's accurate.
That.
But I will tell you one quick thing, and then we'll get on to the show, which is more important, which is that there was a woman in Minnesota when I was working in Minneapolis, and she said I looked like somebody she knew from a little town of Bemidji. And she showed me a picture of the guy, and it was really odd because I did look a lot like him, or he looked a lot like me, which was kind of strange.
Oh, my gosh, there's two of them?
Well, you know, the reason why we're in radio, it is because of looks. You're a former TV guy, so I've got, as they say in the business, a face for radio.
Well, if Kenny Rogers were a model.
Oh, come on. Is this pre-surgery and facelifts? I don't know how many had the lizard look. I hope.
So what do we have on the show today, which is all live and local?
Well, we have a whole lot of stuff and a couple of maybes. So in just a couple of minutes, and we'll cut the news fairly short here because we have three candidates running as a slate in Douglas County. Douglas County School Board. Those three candidates are here. We'll get them on the air right after the break. Mm-hmm. Rick Canale, the usual, real estate guy at right after the bottom of the hour. Mm-hmm. Sigal Chadha is confirmed. I was going to call it a maybe, but she's confirmed for about 9:45.
Attorney General candidate.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I've got a couple of what I think are really good questions in comparison to the current attorney general and voter fraud in particular. Wade Bradshaw, he's running here in Carson City. He's a maybe for 10:05. Most of the people running for office are in the parade, which gets started at 10. The setup was at 8, but they can make it down. We're broadcasting from the Carson City studios today. So if they can make it down here, Wade's a maybe. Sean Meehan will be here to talk about making sure that your vote gets counted. Ronnie
constitutionalist.
Hanneman.
Yeah.
Ronnie Hanneman, 10:45. David Ruff, get a little gardening as we most people wrapping up their gardening for the season. What to do, how to do it. David Ruff from the Greenhouse Garden Center, and Brian Lee, comedian. He's open for Jimmy Fallon at the Carson Comedy Club at the Carson Nugget, and he'll be in right up to wrap up the show with us to maybe put a little smile on our face. It's a beautiful day in Carson City.
Oh, it
is. Counted 18 hot air balloons above downtown.
I saw them over Washoe Valley as I was driving in. What a beautiful sight. Excited about the parade. Okay, we're going to take a brief look at news before we get to our guests, the three candidates for Douglas County School Board. Folks, the machines are back in Nye County. The hand counting of votes there has been stopped after the Nevada Supreme Court pronounced the process illegal, and the Secretary of State told the county clerk there to stop the hand count immediately. The county finished their second day of hand counting early votes before they got the news. The court was persuaded by the ACLU, which called the 2 days of counting a disaster. Secretary of State Barbara Sagaski says the hand counting there is prohibited for now, at least until the polls close November 8th. Nye County commissioners voted to hand count all ballots after complaints by residents about the voting machines. Bernie Sanders spoke to young voters at Reno High School yesterday and in Las Vegas last night. They are two of about 15 stops he's making before the midterms. They were put on by two advocacy groups, Next Gen America and Move On, to, quote, rally young voters before Election Day. Gas prices, Nevada's average regular gas price, now $4.97, highest price in our area, $6.30 a gallon at Incline Village. Lowest, $4.71, spotted in Carson City, lowest in Reno, $4.99 if you have Sam's or Costco, $5.05 elsewhere. Diesel prices have blown up lately. The lowest diesel in Reno is now $5.35, and here's something I've never seen before, and I hope I don't see it again. At a South Carson Street Sinclair station, there's a sign on the cashier's window that reads $1 change fee.
Earlier this week, I spoke with somebody, John, who was on the bus in Hawaii with UNR. You might recognize his name, Bernie Sandoval. He commented out loud, and this particular person who was on the bus made note of it and shared that with me this week. He said, wow, gas prices here in Hawaii are a dollar a gallon cheaper than they are in Nevada.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Yeah. And Washoe County, well, didn't we, not me included, vote for increased taxes on gasoline in Washoe County, which came into effect just this year?
Well, I'm just against this $1 change fee, which means if you give them a 20, use $10 of gas, they're going to charge you an extra dollar to get the change at this Sinclair station. I hope that doesn't catch on. So that's what brought my attention in the news today.
And that's it?
Yes, sir. Well, right, the Wolfpack is playing, and high hopes for that, but it's San Jose Spartans, and they're a tough team.
All right, well then, let's take a break. We have three candidates running for Douglas County School Board, and we'll get all three of them on the air with us and chat with them, see why they're running, and we'll do that right after this. It's 9:13, October 31st, 1864, is when Nevada became a state. Only three states in the nation still recognize when the state became a state. One of them I lived in, too, in Maine. Remember Patriot Day back east? Massachusetts and Maine. And Nevada. So we'll be back, 9:13, 99.1 and 92.3. Stay right where you are.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out, 884-9910. FM News Talk, 99.1.
10 days. 10 days until the midterms. 10 days. This is Live and Local, John and Jay, and Jerry Evans, my co-host, as Jay is at the parade. We have candidates this morning in Douglas County. Susan Jansen and Catherine Dickerson are challenging incumbent school board incumbents. Robbie Lehman and Heather Jackson. David Burns is running for the seat. That term-limited Ross DeChester is leaving. So is Roberta Butterfield. But even though this is a nonpartisan race, all the candidates are Republicans, the party of Lincoln. You three are, and so are your opponents, all Republicans. So we have to differentiate you from your opponents in the Douglas County School Board race, Jerry.
And by the way, real quickly, those of you that are complaining about, as a friend of mine did to me last night, about all the ads that are running, the political ads, I don't listen to the ads. I hear ka-ching. I hear the cash register running. So thank you. Actually, we have three candidates running for a slate. If there's a silver lining to the scamdemic and everything, and it is that what I've seen across the nation is parents, even though some of them are called terrorists by our current administration and government and AG, the United States AG, I think it has awakened parents as to what's being taught in schools and what's been going on in schools. I think that's maybe the silver lining to the whole scamdemic. So with these three candidates running. Let's go with ladies first, and I'll introduce you to Susan Jansen, who is running, and she's got a background in education. Susan, a quick resume, and we'll ask you a couple of questions.
Okay. My name's Susan Jansen. I'm running for Douglas County School Board District 2. I'm a 32-year teacher, and I see the damage that CRT and the sexualization of our children is doing, did in Sacramento, and I want to protect Douglas County schools, make sure that that does not come here.
Most people would think that Douglas County being a more conservative county, that it wouldn't be happening there. I can relate to you a story about a substitute teacher who was substituting at Douglas High during the Iraq War and what happened there. And my former, but my wife and I went in and talked to, at the time, it was Marty Swisher, the principal. And I will say that Marty said he will no longer teach at this school. But most people think of Douglas County as being a more conservative county. What have you discovered since you decided to jump in and run? What have you discovered about Douglas County that you don't think should be happening?
Well, we've been to every school board meeting this year, and they've put restorative justice in the schools. Also, my opponent, Rob Lehman, on one of the school board meetings said that we don't want to talk about CRT anymore. Let's just put it to rest. Also, I've discovered several books, The Feminist and other books that are in the library that don't belong there. And I'm not a book banner at all, but we rate movies G, PG, R, and X, and we don't want any R or X books around our kids. Why would we rate movies and not books?
Okay. Catherine, we'll get you in on the conversation as well, your background and why you're getting involved.
Oh, yes. Catherine Dickerson, running for School Board District 6. And I'm running because we need to absolutely crush and have a firewall against this nonsense, this social justice that's being downloaded into our children on the regular. We must stop that. My background, actually, I'm a business owner. I run and operate Bombshell Betty's Salon and Vintage Clothing Boutique. I've been in business for decades. Also, I had a rough upbringing, foster care to emancipation to education to success. And I really believe that I'm a voice for those that are struggling, to give them what it takes to reach down to their guts and make it work for themselves. So I think I'm needed on the board in that respect. I'm solid stock.
Okay, now your opponent, and Susan, your opponent, and David's opponent too. Did you say, or did you tell me that they were endorsed by who? They're all Republicans, registered Republicans. Who are they endorsed by?
Well, the Republican Party invited all six of us to be interviewed for the endorsement. Those three did not even want to be part of the process. Mm-mm. So the three of us have been endorsed by the Republican Party, and the three of them are recommended by the Democrat Party. They have a recommendation sheet just like the Republicans do, and someone went in the office and got it, and there they were, right on the Democrat endorsement list.
Okay. They're endorsing Republicans.
That aren't Republicans.
Oh, okay.
They say they're Republicans, but hello. I mean, if the Democrats are supporting them, we've got a problem.
Odd. Well, I hear the schools are having a hard time staffing and retaining teachers. Now, Catherine, you say too much money is going to administrators?
I believe it is.
And what's your solution for staffing and the difficulties they have retaining teachers?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think that we are administratively top-heavy. Teachers have never been paid what they're worth. And I think so we need to figure out how we can switch finance to cover teachers and classified. I really believe that is a necessary thing that we need to do.
Okay. I can tell you from experience, my daughter was a teacher, and she was driven out of teaching. I think she lasted in the school district in Carson City about 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
This was after all of the, the big, I'll call it what it is, it was the margins tax. you can, again, the old saying about putting a lipstick on a pig, it was still a pig. It was the commerce tax, according to Bernie Sandoval and company and other Republicans that got that passed. And I can tell you the net effect of the $300 million that was actually supposed to go to schools, the net effect of that was she got a check for $188. And that was, and when did you ever, as a student, when you were in school, when did you ever get handed a pamphlet on the President of the United States after he was elected? I never did. Yet, when my daughter was cleaning out her desk at Seeliger here in Carson City, darned if there wasn't a pamphlet all about Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. And that's what was that indoctrination. And remember the first day of school after he was elected was going to address all the schools nationwide? That's the education system I've seen in Nevada, which is to drive good people away from the system. And again, I mentioned Douglas County is being thought of as being conservative. And we remember Amy Dodson, the librarian, who supported Black Lives Matter, and fortunately, she's where she belongs in Illinois. But anyway, back to you too. So the one thing I think may be missing is you're saying that this is being taught in Douglas High and in Douglas schools. Your opponents are saying it isn't. Do you have a student or somebody that's heard this in the classroom, recorded it in a classroom, somebody that could speak up and say, yeah, I was taught that my parents are racist and only white people, racism only goes one way, which is that only white people are racist? Have you talked to any students?
Well, you know, what we do know, I actually did at the Minden Airport event that we were at hear from a couple that were like, no, this is happening in our classrooms. The essence of CRT is being brought upon them. And the thing is that we know from going to school board meetings that they have culturally responsive teaching is knocking on the door. We have restorative justice. Everything is based on equity, which is CRT at the end of the day. So it's there by their own admission.
They're just giving it a name that sounds somewhat innocuous.
Back to the lipstick on the pig. Yep. Still a pig.
All right.
Susan,
all right.
Catherine, the Douglas County Republican Party says you are the candidates to, quote, save our Douglas schools. Your three opponents call themselves the pro-school candidates, which is like saying you three are anti-school. How do you react to that?
Well, isn't that silly to say that when I'm a 32-year career teacher?
You're not anti-school.
I guess not. Since I was a teacher, I have a master's in curriculum and instruction, and I think that I can bring a lot to the table. I'm very a positive person, and I'm a great negotiator. And I think Douglas County needs me on that school board.
Well, kudos to you, because Douglas County schools rank number one for education in the state. Let's hear some school pride. What are they doing right?
Well, they actually, the numbers, if you really look at them, we're not, what are they comparing them against, for goodness sake? I mean, we are doing awful. In math, I think we're ranked at, what, 49 or something in reading.
You're talking statewide or Douglas County?
I'm talking statewide, but right. Douglas County is even below that. So, and by the way, my husband's a teacher, so I am absolutely pro-teacher. So we're very much in support of teachers. We feel that a lot is being put on them that they didn't get into this to teach in the first place. They're babysitters at this point.
Explain this newspaper headline that I saw last month. Douglas County school officials deny students' right to attend class in dog and cat costumes. What the heck?
I actually had a grandmother come to me at the Adam Laxall event on Thursday and say to me, my granddaughter said at her school that a boy came up to her and started meowing. And she said, this is a fact. And also my opponent, Rob Lehman, told four women at a luncheon at the church on Lucerne that there are furries in the school, and he thinks that it's great because it's their First Amendment right.
What is a furry?
It's I guess a child that dresses up like a cat or a dog. They have like ears and a tail. And they
We're talking high school?
Mm-hmm. High school and middle school. Mm-hmm. I personally haven't seen it, but I've had a lot of stories from parents, grandparents, and I had two middle school children tell me at the Corley Ranch all about this, and they said, if you bark or meow back at them, you get in trouble.
What the heck?
No. But Keith
I would
Lewis
be sent back home immediately.
Yep. Yeah. There was an article in the paper, the Chronicle, that said, oh, this is not true. And so they're denying it, but there seems when there's that much smoke, there's got to be a little bit of fire.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Jansen and Catherine Dickerson, we got to give David Burns his due. So we're going to squeeze him in here. Again, broadcasting from the Carson studio is not quite built for talk radio. So let's get David to sit down and sit at the mic and get David. Let's talk to you and get your kind of resume and also why you are running, because you also are associated with, you're married to a school teacher, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
30 plus year.
Why are you running?
Well, if you remember Senate Bill 143 about background checks, I'm the one that brought that into this state and this county, and that's where it started in Douglas County to put a stop to it.
Background checks on?
Firearms.
Okay.
Background checks on firearms, Senate Bill 143, which is basically dead in this state now. Mm-hmm. I brought it into the county, so no good deed comes unpunished.
Yeah. So they say.
December 24th, one of the Republican leaders come knocking on my door and said, do you know what's going on in our schools? I said, shame on me. No, I don't. He commenced in telling me what was going on, told me a little bit. I learned a lot. And it was enough to get me started. My wife, being a retired teacher, she just loves kids. I'm the same way. I've worked with teenagers, especially 20-some years through youth groups and such in churches. And we care about the kids and their education. The grades are horrendous going down, the test scores.
What does a school trustee actually do? What influence do you do? What can you have and what do you actually do? Somebody says, well, you want to be on the school board. Okay, what are you going to do to make things better?
Well, there's three things that we're responsible for. One is we oversee the superintendent. The other is we set policy. And the third, which I consider the most important, is we answer to the constituents of our valley that elected us. And those are conservative Republican values, the majority. And so using the platform of the Republican Party, which all three of us totally agree on, we are on the page of setting those policies within the Republican Party and bringing them back to education, true education. You can't keep taking time away from the teachers by adding all the extra stuff. Because the other curriculums, the math, the English, the science, and so on, those are losing the time. And then, evidently, it's a fact, the test scores keep declining. In fact, I think it was a week ago Wednesday, Hildebrand posted in the Record Courier, record scores are still going down.
How far down the ladder in terms of grade level is this sex education and that sort of stuff being taught in Douglas schools? Kindergarten, first grade, second grade? Because we've heard of people wanting to introduce it to kindergartners. Sex education.
Yeah, what they've done is they want to give it a different name. Of course, as you said earlier, put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. Third grade, we went to a meeting, all three of us. We sat in on a meeting to evaluate or to look at curriculum for third grade sex education. Of course, that was in May. The board approved it. So we do have sex education. They call it a different name, but we saw the materials and we know what it is. And it is a graphic. It's not cartoon type information. It is graphic information. I personally would be appalled to see my kid come home with that information at any grade.
Okay. All right, David Burns, Susan Jansen, and Catherine Dickerson, and you're running against three incumbents. Who's the superintendent now in Douglas County?
Keith Lewis is the superintendent, but I'm running against an open seat against Ms. Butterfield. She worked for the school system up until shortly before knowing that she was going to run, but she was also a Democrat up until just before she was going to run. She switched to Republican, and we know why.
Yeah, Douglas County.
Exactly.
Susan Jansen, Catherine Dickerson, David Burns, what a pleasure talking with you, and good luck in the election.
Thank you, John.
And you can go to saveourdcsd.com. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be back. I think we've got an open segment, and then Seagal Chatta is supposed to join us at about 9:45 a.m.
Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of northern Nevada.
Good morning, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. It's live and local with John and Jay from Carson City. Today, Jay is announcing at the parade. So we have Jerry Evans co-hosting the show, and it's time for our real estate segment with Rick Canale, and he has a guest for today. And let's start with those mortgage rates. Where are they? How are home sales going? And maybe we'll get some Rick's picks from you, Rick. Who's with you?
Well, very good. Hey, it's good to be here today, and I'm Rick Canale with REMAX, and I guarantee to sell your home at your asking price, or I'll pay the difference. And today, I have a very, very special guest, Mr. James Elvick with Fairway Mortgage, and he's the branch manager there. And for as long as I've been on the show, we've been talking about things that help buyers and sellers, right? And there's a big interest rate issue and inflation and all that going on, but Mr. James Elvick's got 23 years in the business, so I'm going to introduce Mr. James Elvick, and he's going to talk to us about how he sees the markets doing and how he can help buyers.
Thanks, Mr. James. Good morning. Hi, everybody. James Elvick with Fairway Independent Mortgage, and pleasure to be here with you guys this morning and share some of my experience of the Northern Nevada real estate market and what's going on with rates. So as everybody kind of has heard, is rates have really spiked over the last 3 to 6 months. And we are currently probably at around a 20-year high at 7 or a little bit over 7% right now in 30-year fixed rates. In light of all of that, believe it or not, houses are still selling. And if the houses are priced right, they're selling pretty briskly. One of the things that I think is important for any home buyer right now is to realize that you probably are in a place that you have a better opportunity to buy a house right now than you have over the last 2 or 3 years. The last couple of years have been pretty rugged if you were a home buyer. I had a lot of clients over the last few years that just got buyer fatigue because they would be putting in offer over offer and getting beat out by cash. Part of that was because our inventory was pretty low. We do have more inventory right now, which is a great opportunity for you. And I think that I'm going to guess over the next several months, maybe even as much as 6 months, might be a golden window of opportunity if you were unable to buy a house over the last several years to get your foot in the door. Offers are being accepted now. You're not going up against 10 or 15 other offers. And more importantly, or as important, I should say, we also have a chance to get a little seller concession. And I'd love to discuss some of the ways that we can help you get around those high interest rates as well.
Rick, is that true? Are the bidding wars over?
If you have a home that's really in good shape, And there's still high demand for homes from buyers because the inventory, even though it's increased a little bit, still not where it should be, okay? So, yeah, you might have a couple offers come in, but it's not like it used to be. So, like Mr. James Elvick has been saying, is that it's a great opportunity for our buyers because that has decreased. And so your question is very appropriate because it is an ideal time for buyers now, because they're not going up against those bidding wars like they used to in the last couple of years.
And one of the things, we have seen a little bit of softening in prices, and that helps us a little bit too. Now, you know, there's a phrase that I've said over the last several months that is still really, really appropriate, and that's simply this: marry the house and date the rate. There's an opportunity if you find the right house, and we can get you into the house and you can get an offer accepted. This is an ideal time to probably be shopping for a house. And my guess would be, and this is an educated guess at this, is that, you know, we will see rates come down in the middle of next year at some point. As you do that, as Rick said, there's plenty of buyers still out there and inventory is not crazy high. You're going to probably see some of the same things that we experienced over the last couple of years come back into play, where you will be back into these multiple bid, highest and best offers. That's why right now might be the better time for a buyer.
So, and also, you know, we've been talking about buyers and what they need to do in order to prepare themselves for that home purchase process. What advice would you have for a buyer after they've talked to you or they've talked to me as a real estate professional and have introduced them to this process? What advice would you give them?
Well, first and foremost, you know, most real estate professionals are not going to take you out and have you look at houses without having you fully pre-approved. We do a full step further than that, and I'm doing actually full underwriting credit approvals, which gets you as close to as possible as a cash buyer, and also takes about 99% of the stress out of that, because we're going to do all of the paperwork, the heavy lifting up front, and let's get you completely underwriting credit approved. So when you do get an accepted offer, you only need two things. You need an appraisal and some title work, and then we're good to go.
Exactly. That's important. And I tell people nowadays, they look at me they'll say, Rick, God, they're asking this much money as an asking price. Okay. People are still going through that change of mind. Okay. Understanding what the market's doing is, if they understand the market, sometimes they're lowering their price. So I tell my buyers, ignore that price. We'll tell you what we think it is, and let's put an offer, because there are some motivated people out there wanting to sell and needing to sell.
Yes, exactly. And you know, over the last several years, you've gotten zero seller concessions because they didn't have to entice anything. And so what I'm also suggesting to a lot of my selling clients and people, because most people that are selling are going to buy something else.
Absolutely.
Is instead of maybe lowering that price, let's help that buyer. And so you're going to see fairly commonly some seller concessions on a lot of transactions. And we have a great suggestion in that regard of what's the best way to use those seller concession funds. So I want to talk to you real briefly about a 2-1 buy down and how that works. If we have a 7% interest rate right now, if you use a 2-1 buy down, that means I get to start at 5%. And no, it's not a permanent buy down, but there's a lot of good reasons to do a temporary buy down and get that lower rate now, because most people in our industry, as a matter of fact, the word to the wise is that almost everybody that's doing a loan right now in the next couple of years will be refinancing, because rates are going to get better. So it's a great opportunity for you to save some money there. And you know, I would love to have that opportunity to find out what's the best way to use that seller concession.
Well, I'll tell you what, you mentioned home prices dropping. I'll tell you one thing, I don't see the rent prices dropping like they are with the home. So it's real estate still a viable thing for a lot of people. We're wrapping up here. So James, if you could give us your contact information, and you too, Rick.
Absolutely. You can always reach me at 775-219-9770, or my website is James Elvick. That's JamesElvick, JamesElvick.com.
And you know that you can always reach me, Rick Canale, at RickHasBuyers.com. And my phone number is 775 775- 770-570-0574. And on my website, you can get free reports that talk about this very same topic we're talking about. So it's free, no obligation. Wish you to come on there and become educated if you're looking to do something in real estate today. You can always contact me and be happy to talk with you. Thank you much.
Rick, thank you again. And James, a pleasure meeting you. And I can't wait to get the update next Saturday from you, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for that, Jerry.
John, have you ever worked for some a murderer?
Not that I know of.
Not yet?
Not yet. Okay.
You saw the movie So I Married an Axe Murderer?
Yeah.
So I worked for a wife murderer. Which I found out, yes. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. Segal Chadha cannot make it to studio. We'll try to connect with her over the phone here over the break. So stay tuned. Segal Chadha, hopefully in just a couple of minutes. It's live and local. Jay is announcing the parade. John Potter here. Jerry Evans filling in for Jay. It is 9:49. We'll take a quick break and see if we have Segal on the phone.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. The parade is just minutes away from starting on Carson Street. Get on out there and in front of the museum, Jay Biggs. Jay is going to be announcing it. Jerry?
Well, good luck, Jay. We got a limited time. Segal Chadha is running for Attorney General against Aaron Ford here in the state of Nevada. So we have a limited amount of time with her. But first of all, good morning to you, Segal. Are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good, good. Well, listen, we've got a limited time, and I've got some questions I want to ask you real quick. The first thing I want to start with is, before I do that, you got a big endorsement just yesterday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Cash Patel endorsed me. Is that the one you're talking
about?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Formerly Cash in the Trump administration, Cash Patel endorsed you. So let me jump into it real quick. What is there a statute of limitations on voter fraud?
Off the top of my head, I can't answer that. I think it's a 2-year statute of limitations.
Okay. The reason why I ask you this, we noticed that Aaron Ford was able to prosecute voter fraud. Voter fraud is wrong whether a Republican or an independent or a Democrat does it. It's wrong. It's illegal. And Aaron Ford managed to find one voter fraud incident that he prosecuted, which happened to be a Trump supporter. Now, I personally have an email and can show you where a dead Democrat from Genoa voted, even though he had been dead for almost 2 years. He happens to be married to a woman who's very much involved in the Democrat Party in Douglas County. Just a coincidence, maybe? So we handed that over to Mark Jackson, the DA in Douglas County, and I think, and I don't know, but it has gone absolutely nowhere, or I think it'd make the news, but, and I'm sick and tired of people like the former Attorney General, who Trump nominated, Bill Barr, saying, well, if there was voter fraud, there was not enough to overturn the election. Is that what you would do if you were Attorney General, to say, well, you know, they robbed the bank, but they left some behind, so it's not enough to prosecute the crime?
Right. And my position on that prosecution that Aaron Ford engaged in was that there is no way that this was an isolated incident. We know that there was a lot more fraud that was brought to his attention, but he refused to prosecute. And the reason why he did that is because if he started prosecuting every person that engaged in voter fraud, basically what would happen is, who knows where that election, that 2020 election, would have turned out.
I think there was something like 1,600 dead people in Clark County voted.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. The statute of limitations is 2 years, and it is punishable by a felony. But then again, we don't know What happened to that evidence? I don't know whether it was destroyed. But if I do end up getting in there and investigating this, then as long as it's within the statute of limitations, I will prosecute.
Okay, well, we got about 90 seconds. So give us your closing argument for why to vote for you.
Well, if you're sick of the public corruption in the state and you're ready for some public safety to be restored, then I'm your girl. I am going to prosecute public corruption. I promised that to Nevadans from day one. And I think Nevadans are sick of what's going on in the state and what has happened to our state.
And quickly, too, you went to court against the closing of churches in the state of Nevada.
Yes, I sued Sisolak and Aaron Ford and prevailed in the Ninth Circuit in the case of Calvary Chapel Lone Mountain versus Sisolak and Ford.
Okay. Sigal Chadha, good luck to you with your campaign. If you become Attorney General, we will be calling you on a regular basis for updates.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, enjoy Carson City while you're here. And John, just about 30 seconds or so. So you've never worked for anybody that has murdered somebody?
Not yet.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Well, and let's hope that since you're working for me now, in a sense, that that never becomes true. But I'll tell you about that story, which I just found out about a little earlier. He was convicted just in August.
Craig, he's not talking about himself, is he? Okay, good.
We'll be
back.
Stick
around.